Let us now turn, please, in our Bibles to our first Bible reading, which you will find on page 211 of our Bibles. Page 211. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. We should begin reading at the first verse of the chapter. Let us hear this portion of God's word. This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned from Seir upon us. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from the 10,000s of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Yes, he loved his people. All his holy ones were in his hand. So they followed in your steps, receiving direction from you when Moses commanded us a law as a possession for the assembly of Jacob. Thus the Lord became king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Let Reuben live and not die, but let his men be few." And this he said of Judah: "Hear, O Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him in to his people. With your hands contend for him, and be a help against his adversaries." And of Levi he said: "Give to Levi your Thummim and your Urim to your godly one, whom you tested at Massah, with whom you quarrelled in the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and mother, 'I regard them not.' He disowned his brothers and ignored his children, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar. Bless, O Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Crush the loins of his adversaries and of those who hate him, that they rise not again." Of Benjamin he said: "The beloved of the Lord dwells in safety. The high God surrounds him all day long and dwells between his shoulders." And of Joseph he said: "Blessed be the Lord, blessed by the Lord be this land, his land, with the choicest of gifts of heaven above and of the deep that crouches beneath, with the choicest gifts of the sun and the rich yield of the months, with the finest produce of the ancient mountains and the abundance of the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favour of him who dwells in the bush. May these rest on the head of Joseph, on the pate of him who is prince among his brothers. Firstborn bull, he has majesty, and his horns are the horns of a wild ox. With them he shall gore the peoples, all of them, to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar, in your tents. They shall call peoples to their mountain. There they offer right sacrifices, for they draw from the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand. And of Gad he said, blessed be he who enlarges Gad. Gad crouches like a lion, he tears off arm and scalp. He chose the best of the land for himself, for the commander's portion was reserved. And he came with the heads of the people. With Israel he executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments for Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's cub that leaps from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, oh, Naphtali, sated with favour and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the lake and the south. And of Asher he said, most blessed of sons be Asher. Let him be the favourite of his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your bars shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be. There is none like God, O Jeshurun, who rides through the heavens to your help, through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. So Israel lived in safety. Jacob lived alone in a land of grain and wine, whose heavens drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord. The shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, but you shall tread upon their backs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now for our second Bible reading, we're going to turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. You'll find this on page 1185. 1185 is the page number. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading at the first verse. Let us hear this portion of God's written word. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we turn again, please, to the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and we continue looking together at the words of blessing that Moses uttered before he departed this life. The words of blessing, that is, that he invoked upon each and every tribe of the nation of Israel. Let's pray before we say another word. O Lord our God, come down in power upon us in these moments, we beseech of you. Expand our understanding, inform our minds, stir our wills, equip us to go forth into the world and to proclaim by life and lip the glorious gospel of our God. For this we ask in Jesus Christ, our Saviour's name. Amen. We come tonight to the blessing that God invoked upon two of the tribes of Israel. They're mentioned together in verse 18. And those two tribes are the tribe of Zebulun and Issachar. Issachar was the fifth son of Jacob, born to Leah. And Zebulun was the last son of Jacob born to Leah, the sixth that she had. The name Issachar reflects on the fact that he was one who, as it were, was hired, for that's what the name means. Leah thought that she was past childbearing. She took mandrakes, hoping that that would make her productive once more. Well, she's given the name. She gives the name, well, they give the name Issachar to that child, and literally it means the one who is hired. Zebulun speaks of one who was honoured. Now, what is said of these two tribes? And what may be said, indeed should be said, of each and every child of the living God? Well, let us recall each and every one of these boys who came to be the head of a tribe, the descendants of Jacob. They were numbered amongst the people here on earth who were set apart from the peoples of the world to be a people who were special, different, a people who were living to the glory of God. That's what should have been the case. Now, what is said of each and every one of these tribes can, in one way or another, be applied to the people of God in succeeding generations. And what I hope to show to you is that what is said here of these two tribes may indeed be, and should indeed be, true of the people of God today and tomorrow and until the day when Christ Jesus comes again. We're going to notice that God prospers his people. We've seen this point before, but it's underlined again here in these verses, and in particular in verse 18. But then secondly, we're going to see that the people of God are those who praise the Lord, and who praise the Lord with a particular aim and concern in mind. We shall look at these in turn. We're going to start, therefore, with verse 18 and this theme of God prospering his people. Now, you'll see that in verse 18, there is mention of the going out of the people of Zebulun. Rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out. What is said about the tribe of Issachar? Well, they are instructed to rejoice in their tents. What is being pointed to in these references? Surely it must be this, and we get an indication of this elsewhere in Scripture, of course. For example, Psalm 121. The Lord blesses his people in their going out and in their coming in. Or, to put it somewhat differently, God blesses his people in their homes and in the world. Or we could put it slightly differently, God blesses his people in the church as well as in the world. The people of Issachar had places to dwell in, as too, of course, did the people of Zebulun. Dwelling places is what is being alluded to, referred to, by means of the term in your tents. So God is saying, his people will be honored in their home. He will watch over them and bless them as they dwell together in their homes. But he will also bless them as they go out into the world. How do we know that we can say he's going to bless his people at home and outside in the world? Well, the clue to answering that question lies in the very first word of the blessing that is invoked over these two tribes, namely the word rejoice. You see, the people of God are called to be a happy people. We know from history that certain people have gone down amongst the people of God as being happy people. That was said of Billy Bray in Cornwall, said of Lachlan Mackenzie in Scotland. They were undoubtedly happy people. They had a reputation for being happy. Well, what was it that made them happy? They knew the blessing of the Lord upon them. They knew the blessings that God has provided for sinners in Jesus Christ. You see, one mistake we sometimes make is to imagine, unless we're receiving outward signs of blessing, some degree of prospering, being made wealthy, or whatever term you want to use, if we're not seeing that sort of thing, we imagine we're not being blessed. Well, I do not doubt that God can enable a person to grow wealthy. Abraham was a man who was exceedingly wealthy. But Abraham would have been amongst the first of men, surely, to declare, it's not what you've got here on earth that matters in the last analysis. What matters is whether you know God and whether you know the blessings that God has in Christ Jesus for his people. And that, of course, is one of the reasons why we read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, as our second Bible reading this evening. If you are an individual who has been raised with Christ, if you are a new man or woman in Christ Jesus, then you should be rejoicing, not just in the forgiveness for your sins that you enjoy, but also in the fact that you are empowered and enabled by the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit to lead the holy life that God calls you to lead. We must put to death the deeds of the flesh. The lusts and passions of this world must be dealt with. We're to receive from God the good gifts that he gives to us, and we're to enjoy them within the boundaries that he has set for them. But our focus must be on ever glorifying Almighty God for his many, many mercies to us in Christ Jesus. Each and every child of God is a richly blessed person. That's what Billy Bray knew. down in Cornwall those centuries ago. That's what Lachlan Mackenzie knew up in Scotland. And that's what individual believers can know in their own heart, in their own day of living here on earth. God's going to bless you, is what Moses in effect is saying to the people of Zebulun and Issachar. He's going to bless you in your homes, and he's going to bless you out there in the world as you live for him. Therefore, be a people who rejoice. And I say again, what was true of them is true of every believer in every generation. And so a challenge that comes to us as we consider the word of blessing invoked over these two tribes is this. Do we appreciate what God is doing for his people? Do we appreciate, as we should, the riches of the blessings that he has provided for us in Christ Jesus? Do we appreciate, as we should, that we can cast all our cares upon him and find and know, as the Apostle Peter puts it, him caring for us? Do we appreciate these things as we could and should? Well, now, what's the evidence that we do appreciate these things if we are appreciating them? Well, the evidence is seen, my friends, in the fact that you are rejoicing. Rejoice, Zebulun and Issachar. That is what those people are called to do. Rejoice because God will prosper you. That is his purpose for his people in this life and forevermore. Well, what follows such prospering, such blessing? The answer is praise. And that surely is what verse 19 is all about. Now, the Bible commentators would be amongst the first to tell you that verse 19 is not an easy verse to understand. It's difficult enough to translate. It is not easy to understand. But I think it's generally accepted amongst Bible commentators, certainly amongst those that I've read, that here in these words, we see the people of Zebulun and Issachar, these people of God, taking a lead, setting a good example in reaching out with the glorious gospel of God to the peoples of this world. They, it says at the beginning of verse 19, and the they there must surely refer to Zebulun and Issachar, for that's of whom Moses is speaking. They shall call peoples to their mountain. There they offer right sacrifices, for they draw from the abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the sand. Now let's begin at the end of the verse. The abundance of the seas and the hidden treasures of the land. Now some people say, well, there's something wrong here, because once the people of God, the people of Israel, had crossed the Jordan and gone into the land of promise, and then under Joshua seen the territory divided amongst the tribes, we discover that neither the territory apportioned to Issachar or the territory apportioned to Zebulun was beside water, beside a sea. The tribe of Issachar was not immediately adjacent to the Lake of Galilee. And although the tribe of Zebulun's territory was to the north and to the west a bit of the tribe of Issachar, it didn't extend to the Mediterranean Sea. And so some people scratch their heads and say, well, there's something wrong here. But we must remember that this is poetic language. And we must remember that by means of the imagery used, a great message is being conveyed to the people. What is that message? Well, surely it's this: that from the abundance of the earth that God has made and which he causes to yield a harvest. And don't forget, his glorious promise is that he's never again going to deluge the world as he did in the days of Noah, for as long as it endures. For there may be tragedies and calamities, catastrophes that are faced in this place or that place. You know, we've been hearing recently of a tsunami, haven't we? And we've been hearing of earthquakes and the like. But the earth still exists. Mankind has not yet been blotted out from the face of the earth as mankind was, save 8 people in the days of Noah. No, seed time and harvest shall come round each year until the end of history, till the second coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And until that day, the people of God will be those who are enabled, along with others, because the sun shines on the righteous and on the wicked, and the rain falls on the righteous as well as on the wicked. But the people of God will be enabled to enjoy the fruit of the sea, the abundance of the seas, and the hidden treasures of the sand or land. So God's people are going to be provided for. And God's people are going to be filled with praise because of the provision of Almighty God. And so coming back towards the middle of the verse, now we went to the end of verse 19 just now, come with me now to the middle of the verse. There they offer right sacrifices, we're told. In other words, Moses is saying, the peoples of these tribes, being the people of God, will be those who worship God in spirit and in truth. They will be those who honour God. They will be those who yield praise and adoration to God for the great blessings that he lavishes upon us. And they will be those who lay before the Lord their petitions and their supplications as well. They will be those who worship God. You see, that's what the people of God do. They adore the Lord. They worship the Lord. When they come and meet together with his people, their focus is on adoring him, worshipping him, ascribing to him the glory and honour of which he is worthy. It is believed that the word worship is linked to that word worthy, ascribing that which is worthy to the one who is worshipped. He is our creator and maker. He is our provider and protector. He is our redeemer and saviour. We have great cause to worship and adore him, to praise him, to thank him from the very depths of our beings. We rejoice in what he provides for us, but we adore him for who he is. And we worship him in spirit and truth. They offer right sacrifices. So they take themselves to task and they say to themselves when they come to worship, now we must now worship God in a right and proper way. I wonder, my friend, do you say that when you come to church? Do you say that when you engage in a time of private devotion? At home, in the secret place, in the closet? Do you say to yourself, I must now put aside all the worries and fears and preoccupations that I've got. I must now focus my thought, my mind, my heart, my affections upon God. I'm now coming to commune with him, to enjoy sweet fellowship with him. So I must put aside everything that stands in the way. Do you say that sort of thing to yourself? And do you say to yourself, as you read the scriptures, it doesn't matter whether you just read a few verses, that's what some people find they can manage. Other people might read a few chapters. Do you say to yourself, I'm not going to rush this. I'm going to take time to hear God speak to me by, through and from his word. You see, these people, the prayer, the blessing of Almighty God for these people is that they would offer right sacrifices to the Lord. And our concern should always be that our worship would be pleasing before the Lord. But then we come to the first part of the verse. We've worked our way backwards through verse 19. We've seen that these people thank God for what he provides. We've seen that these people worship God in a right and proper way. But we see also that these people have a passionate concern to see others come to do the same. They shall call peoples to their mountain. They shall call peoples. It's as though Moses is saying to worship the Lord with them. And so the people of God go out. Yes, they dwell secure in their tents, verse 18. But they go out knowing that the Lord is with them and that the Lord will richly and gloriously bless them. And they go out eager to share with others the good news of the gospel of God. We want you to come and enjoy God with us. We want you to know what we've discovered from the hands of our God. We want you to worship him. And we want you to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what the people of God are concerned to do. They're never content just to be in a cozy little holy huddle, to use the sort of language that you can sometimes hear used. There are some people who go to church just to get away from the world. And their focus is just on themselves. Finding a space for reflection or quietness or stillness. But the child of God, the one who knows the Lord, well, he, she comes to gather with God's people to worship God in spirit and in truth. And then he or she goes out eager to tell others of the Saviour, eager to reach out to others with the good news of the gospel, of God's righteousness provided for unrighteous individuals in Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And so a challenge that comes to us as we consider this is, when did you last speak to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? When did you last speak to an unbelieving member of your family or an unbelieving colleague at work or an unbelieving neighbor? When did you last speak to them about Christ? I didn't ask, when did you last invite them to church? Anybody can invite someone to church. It takes much more courage, doesn't it, to actually talk to somebody about the Saviour. We naturally feel embarrassed, especially in our generation. Perhaps we can argue because it's such a godless generation. And the people around about us think that you and I are wacky to talk of the Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. To speak of him as the only Saviour of sinners. Because the mind of the world today is to focus on just allowing people to do what they want. But you see, the believer, the true believer of God, he or she can't be content with that. Why not? Because he doesn't want to see people rushing headlong into hell. He or she wants to see people safe and secure in the arms of the Saviour. Well, how will they hear of the Saviour if somebody doesn't speak to them? Isn't that the message of Romans chapter 10? Yes, the message needs to be proclaimed. Well, who's going to proclaim it? Well, the people who are sent by God into the world to proclaim it. That's those born again of God's Spirit. Oh yes, it may be the case that in churches, as we've been considering and as we shall consider again on Wednesday of this week, it may be that in churches that God has given pastors and teachers. But you will find that the people of God are those who are called to go and gossip the gospel of God to the peoples of this generation. So here is Moses considering God's purpose and plan for his people. And as he looks at the peoples of the tribe of Zebulun and the peoples of the tribe of Issachar, he says, now you're going to be those who are prospered by God, because God prospers his people. You're going to be a people who have cause to praise God, but you're also going to be a people whose concern it is to see others come to know and praise the Lord as well. Now, my friend, are you aware that God will never leave you or forsake you if you're his child by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? He'll never, never leave you nor forsake you. He will richly and wonderfully prosper you in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, as you wait upon him and walk with him. And he causes you to say thank you and to rejoice. That's what he wants you to do. But he wants you also to go out and tell others of such a wonderful salvation and such a most glorious Saviour. May God anoint us and enable us to do these things in these days. Let's pray. O most gracious and most merciful Father in heaven above, look with favour upon us in these moments. Pardon our many, many sins which cry out against us. And O Lord our God,
Teach us to be those, we beseech of you, who know you, the living God, and know your purposes and plans for your people, and how you will never leave nor forsake your people, how you will provide for your people and protect your people, how you will equip your people to go forth into the world and to spread abroad the fragrance of the glorious gospel of our Saviour. O Lord our God, make us those who call people to seek you whilst you may be found, who call people never to rest until they've found you, and who call people to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, may we go out, even with tears, knowing that those who go in such a manner shall in due time come back rejoicing. So bless us, Lord. We plead in Jesus Christ, our Saviour's name. Amen.